Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. It's quite an honor, and I'm very excited to present what are quite preliminary results from a study I was involved with, as mentioned, with AIDS Foundation East West and some colleagues from Stanford in Tajikistan. These are preliminary results, so I would really appreciate any feedback you guys can provide. I have no disclosures. So in the former Soviet Union, over the last 20 years or so since independence, TB incidence has risen dramatically in the region, as well as the emergence of multi-drug resistance. The reasons for this are clearly going to be multifactorial, but prisons have been implicated as being a significant contributing factor. In fact, one study looked at how much of TB incidence could be explained by incarceration rates and found that up to 60% of variation in TB incidence in this region, in the former Soviet countries, could be explained by incarceration rates. And also the multi-drug resistance was also associated with incarceration rates. So in my talk, I'll be focusing on Tajikistan, which may need a little bit of introduction. Tajikistan is actually the poorest of the former Soviet countries, or at least among the very poorest. It's a small country, but has a population of about 7 million, and its location is actually quite important to its epidemiology because, as you can see, it shares a large border with Afghanistan. Drugs, in particular heroin, that go from Afghanistan to Europe since the 90s have actually been going north through Central Asia and then Russia over to Europe. So Tajikistan is actually the first stop on the drug trade route. Also, you can see that just from the pictures that it is a Muslim country and it is very mountainous. Now, in Tajikistan, tuberculosis has been on the rise, has risen dramatically in the last 10 years, actually more than doubled, according to notification rates to WHO. And interestingly enough, actually, Tajikistan was one of the last places in the former Soviet Union to really have a measured HIV epidemic. But as you can see, HIV incidence is starting to rise as well. And yet there's actually very little data of any quality about the TB and HIV epidemics in the prison, the prison system. The National Tuberculosis Service does publish the number of cases that they find in the prisons, but they keep the number of inmates screened secret. There was a seroprevalence survey that has just been started a few years ago. The first one was in 2007, conducted by the National AIDS Center, that did show actually a quite high prevalence of HIV. So we sought to examine the two. We conducted a cross-sectional prevalence and risk factor survey in which we developed a behavioral and demographic questionnaire and combined this with radiographic and symptom screening, which was then followed by quality-assured bacteriology. We are in the process of coordinating our data with data from an HIV seroprevalence study that was conducted around the same time. Oh, this was conducted in January of 2010. The HIV seroprevalence survey was a few months before that, but we are still actually bringing those two data sets together. Our survey was actually developed on the basis of in-depth interviews, which looked at the knowledge, attitudes, and practices around HIV and TB. On the basis of that, we developed a quantitative survey instrument. We then offered this to all inmates in two prison facilities in northern Tajikistan, in a place called Sukh province, and we had 1,317 respondents. We measured their height and weight. So this is just a flow chart, which wasn't supposed to be great, but it's okay, that just shows sort of the survey design. We actually screened all prisoners in the two prison facilities because it is actually the law of Tajikistan that all inmates are entitled to one radiographic screening every year, and we were able to provide funding for that. But we were only able to include data. We, of course, conducted our survey in adherence with ethical standards of the West, so we had informed consent process and did not include data of the 22 inmates, which is really not too many, that declined. And then on the basis of symptoms or radiographic findings, we collected sputum samples to send for smear and culture. And also, in order to really get the best estimate of best estimate of TB prevalence that resources would allow, we also collected sputum samples from everyone who told us they were involved in the HIV seroprevalence survey, which were not cultured, but cultured automatically, but were we did smear microscopy. It's important to note that while we did back our diagnosis with bacteriology, ultimately our diagnosis in this study, or at least in these results, is based on the decision of local TB specialists on the basis of WHO guidelines. So what we found was a prevalence amongst our population of 3.6% of inmates at the time of the study having active pulmonary tuberculosis. Probably unsurprisingly, the majority of these cases, 77%, were smear positive. This is a bit probably not surprising if you're familiar with the region, but 38% of our cases were actually retreatment cases. In terms of HIV risk behaviors, drug use was fairly common, though perhaps probably underreported. We were actually only asking about drug use in the past, not during the not while in prison, which would not have been politically possible. But we did find that about 12% of inmates reported having used drugs in the past, and about 25% of those who were using who had a history of drug use reported injection drug use. In terms of environmental risk factors, it's actually kind of difficult. It was quite difficult for inmates to assess. In these two prison facilities, while they do have some individual cells, for the most part, the inmates live in barracks. You can see that there are two peaks for how many other inmates live with our respondents. So there were just barracks of 60 and barracks of 150. People didn't, for the most part, didn't know if there was someone who had TB in their barrack, but a little over half of those that did have an answer thought that there probably was. In terms of risk factors that ended up being significant, unsurprisingly, HIV status by self-report amongst those who knew that they were HIV positive, which again, this is not from the seroprevalence survey, this is just from self-report, was the most significant risk factor for having active pulmonary TB in our sample, followed by a previous history of TB, also not so surprising. And history of drug use was significant, though, in a multivariate regression analysis that fell out of significance, which I guess I don't have a slide on. But. Interestingly, one aspect which I'm going to come back to in a moment that we asked about was how often inmates were able to eat food over and above what was allotted to them by the prison administration. I'll talk a bit about why we asked about that, but that came out to be actually also a significant risk factor for TB, having access to supplemental nutrition less frequently than once a month. Here are a bunch of things that were not significantly associated, except frequency of supplemental nutrition is on there for some reason. One of the commonly known risk factors for TB is socioeconomic status. We were interested in trying to figure out, while designing our survey, we were trying to figure out, okay, what is socioeconomic status in a prison in Tajikistan? Because usually you measure socioeconomic status by monetary wealth or by the ownership of a TV, possessions, things like that, or level of education. But a lot of those things aren't going to be measurable or important in these prison systems. So one of the things that came up as a frequent theme in my in-depth interviews was actually connections to friends and family. That visits by friends and family were helped people survive. When asked how they survived, they would say, I supported my health through my relatives, my mother was alive, and my brother, and they would bring me things, they would bring me food and medicines. This was a common theme, actually. So we were interested in thinking about what socioeconomic status is in a prison. One thing that came up is social networks, connectivity to social networks. And we were interested in both social networks outside the prison, and so we asked about visits from friends and family, and we were interested in social networks among other prisoners. And we asked a question that, if you needed help with something, how many other inmates could you rely on for help? And while neither of these things were actually protective on their own, neither were independent protective factors for TB, they were actually both correlated with supplemental nutrition frequency. So this is just a plot. It looks, I guess, different from most plots because it has this fancy density thing. But it just shows that there was actually a very strong correlation between the frequency of being visited by friends and family and the access to this supplemental nutrition over and above what they're given as daily meals. And then similarly, the ability to rely on other inmates for help or feeling which we saw as a proxy for sort of connectivity to other inmates, was also correlated with access to supplemental nutrition. So in conclusion, while we don't have yet the ability to say exactly what the role of HIV is in prevalent cases, or incident cases of TB in the prison system, it does seem to be a risk factor and threatens to worsen the prison epidemic of TB. Prison administrators, I would say, should work to reduce HIV transmission among injection drug users. The policies looking for people who are high at most risk for TB could focus on socially isolated inmates who are likely to be malnourished. Obviously, there are many limitations to a study like this. We did not have the resources to provide bacteriological diagnosis to all of the inmates, only to those who screened positive, which might underestimate the prevalence of TB. But on the other hand, our usage of WHO clinical criteria might overrepresent the prevalent cases, given that there may be some people who are culture negative who were diagnosed with TB. We're still working on bringing the two data sets together. So I'd just like to acknowledge the Department of Corrections, who was amazingly cooperative with us, and also the National TB Program of Tajikistan, who was very helpful. And these are our funding sources. Thank you.